See, he had seen floating mountains of ice. He had ridden on an imaginary dragon. He had very nearly said the most powerful spell on the disc. There was definitely less horizon than there ought to be. Said Rincewind.
I said nothing's worse than slavery, said Twoflower.
His mouth opened as the wizard flung his bucket far out to sea and sat down heavily on the waterlogged deck, his face a grey mask.
Look, I'm sorry I steered us into the reef, but this boat doesn't seem to want to sink, and we're bound to strike land sooner or later, said Twoflower comfortingly. This current must go somewhere.
Look at the horizon, said Rincewind in a monotone. Twoflower squinted.
It looks all right, he said after a while. Admittedly, there seems to be less than there usually is, but...
That's because of the rim fall, said Rincewind. We're being carried over the edge of the world. There was a long silence, broken only by the lapping of the waves as the foundering ship spun slowly in the current. It was already quite strong. That's probably why we hit that reef, Rincewind added. We've got pulled off course during the night.
Would you like something to eat?
Asked Twoflower. He began to rummage through the bundle that he'd tied onto the rail, out of the damp.
Don't you understand, snarled Rincewind, we are going over the edge, goddammit!
Can't we do anything about it?
No.
Well, then I can't see any sense in panicking, said Twoflower calmly.
I knew we shouldn't have come this far edgewise, complained Rincewind to the sky. I wish
I had my picture box, said Twoflower, but it's back on that slaver ship with the rest of the luggage, and...
You won't need luggage where we're going, said Rincewind.
He sagged and stared moodily at a distant whale that had carelessly strayed into the rimward current and was now struggling against it. There was a line of white on the foreshortened horizon, and the wizard fancied he could hear a distant roaring.
What happens after the ship goes over the rimfall, said Twoflower.
Who knows?
Well, in that case, perhaps we'll just sail on through space and land on another world.
A faraway look came into the little man's eyes.
I'd like that, he said.
Rincewind snorted. The sun rose in the sky, looking noticeably bigger this close to the edge. They stood with their backs against the mast, busy with their own thoughts. Every so often, one or other would pick up a bucket and do a bit of desultory bailing, for no very intelligent reason. The sea around them seemed to be getting crowded. Rincewind noticed several tree trunks keeping station with them, and just below the surface the water was alive with fish of all sorts. Of course, the current must be teeming with food washed from the continents near the hub. He wondered what kind of life it would be, having to keep swimming all the time to stay exactly in the same place. Pretty similar to his own, he decided. He spotted a small green frog, which was paddling desperately in the grip of the inexorable current. To Twoflower's amazement, he found a paddle and carefully extended it towards the little amphibian, which scrambled onto it gratefully. A moment later, a pair of jaws broke the water and snapped impotently at the spot where it had been swimming. The frog looked up at Rincewind from the cradle of his hands, then bit him thoughtfully on the thumb. Twoflower giggled. Rincewind tucked the frog away in a pocket and pretended he hadn't heard.
All very humanitarian, but why? Said Twoflower. It'll all be the same in an hour.
Because, said Rincewind vaguely, and did a bit of bailing. Spray was being thrown up now, and the current was so strong that waves were forming and breaking all around them. It all seemed unnaturally warm. There was a hot, golden haze on the sea. The roaring was louder now. A squid, bigger than anything Rincewind had seen before, broke the surface a few hundred yards away and thrashed madly with its tentacles before sinking away. Something else that was large and fortunately unidentifiable howled in the mist. A whole squadron of flying fish tumbled up in a cloud of rainbow-edged droplets and managed to gain a few yards before dropping back and being swept in an eddy. They were running out of world. Rincewind dropped his bucket and snatched at the mast as the roaring final end of everything raced towards them.
"I must see this," said Twoflower, half-falling and half-diving towards the prow.
Something hard and unyielding smacked into the hull, which spun 90 degrees and came side-on to the invisible obstacle. Then it stopped suddenly, and a wash of cold sea foam cascaded over the deck, so that for a few seconds Rincewind was under several feet of boiling green water. He began to scream, and then the underwater world became the deep, clanging purple colour of fading consciousness, because it was about at this point that Rincewind started to drown. He awoke with his mouth full of burning liquid,
and when he swallowed, the searing pain in his throat